AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Said it, man.
White men. Coward. You are of a darker hue than me.
That's how we roll.
Oh, I remember that.
Hi, this is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Hi, Jen.
I apologize to Laker fans.
For what? So that we'll add 5 seconds to your time after.
For what?
For crossing the line on pit entry.
Success is a consequence and must not be a goal.
This guy is a f***ing show.
He is kidding. Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports. Your This Guy is an Epic Joke show of record. Live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Already gave you an opportunity for the final time last hour to win that $1,000. We'll be back on Monday, though, 7:15 a.m. until 4:15 p.m. Right around quarter past the hour. Get a keyword. You call. Or I should say you text the keyword to 200-200 and you could get a call back from a number you don't recognize or that is blocked. You would answer your phone if you see it, and that could be $1,000, a grand in your hand. Apparently, we can't call it the stimulus check anymore. Tim Cates took that off the copy because he was sued for plagiarism by KFI.
Ooh!
You don't saying that you're putting. Let's put them on. Just found them, put them on.
Yeah.
Found who stole it.
Put them on.
And punish them.
This guy is a f***ing show.
Now, come on. Give Timmy a break. All right, everybody. It is time as we move on with great sports talk. For one final hour.
For 1 hour. Jeez. Why are you yelling at us, Kimmy? You're blowing our ears out.
We just did the F1 report in the last segment. You can podcast it later on the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone, just like the whole show. And it's been a great week. We appreciate your patronage. We sure do. And look, you know, the LA Kings are hitting the effing roof for two games.
Yeah, they got their win. Their first win last night. They're now 1-2-1 off the schneid. No.
2-1.
Hey! Floodgates are open. They're good. Right?
Yeah, well, they're live on the LA Kings audio network, free on the iHeartRadio app. Let's get to the final hour fun fact.
It's fun in effect. It's the hour three.
Fun facts! Fun facts!
The mushroom, known by its nickname, the Devil's Cigar, is a fungus that strangely only exists in a small area of Texas and a small area of Japan at roughly the same latitude, but separated by some 6,800 miles. The two populations have been separated for at least 19 million years, ruling out the possibility of human introduction from one location to the other.
So, star-crossed mushroom lovers?
Pretty weird. In Texas, they grow on cedar stumps. In Japan, oak trees.
Do they kill you?
It looks like a cigar, and then it hisses. This weird smoke comes out, and it blossoms into like a ray flower. And they exist only in those two little places.
But it won't kill you.
Won't kill you.
Okay.
It's just super creepy.
The Devil's Cigar.
The Devil's Cigar, huh? Where are you from?
I don't like that flower. Quick hits, everybody.
The PMS Quick Hits. I'll make it quick, y'all. Oh, yeah!
Baseball icon. First ballot Hall of Famer. And sadly, another in a long line of baseball legends has passed away. This time, Hank Aaron, just a couple days after Don Sutton passed away. He was 86. Atlanta Braves said in release that Aaron died peacefully in his sleep, one of the sport's great stars. Played for Milwaukee and then the Atlanta Braves after they relocated. Played for them throughout his entire major league career. Still holds major league records for RBIs, total bases, extra base hits. And MLB's third all-time when it comes to hits, third in games played. And a lot of people think he is still the home run king.
Well.
Because of Barry Bonds being the man who has hit more.
Let's fire up that debate.
Ooh, we could do that all next week.
Let's do it, man. Let's let him rest a little, and then we'll do it. Of course, we did have a big PMS moment many years ago with David Vasse covering the All-Star game. We were in Arizona, and the hotel we were at, Hank Aaron was arriving as we were coming back from doing the show that day, and Matt and Vasse approached him and shook his hand. And I stood back and said, "That's Hank Aaron.
You want to come with me?" "Yeah, I'll go with you, Dave." "Let's do it."
And I just stood there.
You stood there.
I didn't condemn.
I rode Dave's coattails. I let him do the introduction, and then I just reached my hand out and said, "It's an honor, Mr. Aaron."
I did not condemn the practice.
Dave was he was floating the rest of the evening. We started drinking in the bar right after that.
Oh,
and he
that
was
girl's a toot. That one over there is a toot.
A lot of toot conversation as well.
It was, you know, they're saying that they brought in some toots to The Bachelor this week. So we might get some toot talk.
Okay.
Undercover toot talk next week, Matt. Uh-oh, Cates, I see you in there. We got some breaking Dodger news.
Well, guys, we got some Dodger news. We mentioned his name earlier with Gabby Hurlbutt, our former intern, and we're going to have to get her on the show on Monday because Kike Hernandez, according to reports out of Boston, has agreed in principle on a multi-year deal with the Red Sox. So more on that on Monday, but didn't say we didn't see this coming because we talked about it earlier.
Well, there it is, straight from Cates. Dodgers news.
NFL announced that Super Bowl 55 in Tampa is going to have 22,000 fans. 7,500 will be vaccinated healthcare workers from the greater Tampa area. And then I believe each team is going to be able to bring a few thousand of their vaccinated healthcare workers, whichever the two teams are,
and
that will be representing.
All the girls from Mons Venus are also vaccinated. They're going to be
in the end zones. Okay. Each end zone. It's going to be great. And then they got another rival club from St. Pete that's going to
They're shooting the Moderna out of the cannons in the boat. It's going to be good.
Right into their boobs.
It's going to be an unreal Super Bowl, Matt.
We got the doubleheader on our sister station, AM 1150. Lines have shifted. Green Bay now 3.5-point favorite, up from 3. Kansas City, many of the lines have been frozen because Pat Mahomes announced that he has been cleared from the NFL's concussion protocol and will, in fact, play.
Wow.
Wow, really? Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown has been ruled out. Vita Vea has been activated off the injury list.
Let's go, Huskies!
Lakers 12-4. They continue their 7-game road trip tomorrow in Chicago after knocking off the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Clippers 11-4, winners of 5 in a row. They will host the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, which is coming up at the top of the hour, about 40 minutes from now.
Tonight is the 15th anniversary of Kobe's 81. So remember where you were that night. We always like to talk to our friend. How do you like me now, Kentucky? He was there that night playing.
How you like me now, Kentucky?
Playing for the Raptors. So 81 points.
And we always like talking to our friend Bill McDonald, who was in on the call in place of the Lizard. Norm Pattis is a dear friend of mine, and I do the championship games every year. I was up in Seattle, and I'm proud to say I was up there calling that game because it's something I did every year. So, all right.
You missed Kobe's 81, Joel.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was doing something for a friend. It's a job I had.
Well, you missed.
Responsibility I take seriously.
You missed one of the most iconic nights in the history of modern pro basketball, Joel.
Who's calling Laker games now? Is it
Bill,
Joel still?
Bill McDonald.
Oh, the guy who was there to call the 81-point game is now the voice of the Lakers.
Correct.
Funny how that works out. Is Joel going to be on the call for the NFC or the AFC championship game? Oh, no, he's not. What do you know?
Ooh.
So I guess the gig that he did every year for his friend Norm Pattis no longer.
That is just dripping with bile.
A little bit. Hey, the Kings are off the schneid. They got a victory last night over
go,
the Avalanche.
Kings, go!
Go, Kings, go! They head to St. Louis for games tomorrow and Sunday against the Blues. They will drop the puck at 5 tomorrow. You can listen to it on their own channel, the Kings Radio Network, or the Kings Audio Network. On the iHeartRadio app. Free to download if you're listening to PMS right now on the iHeartRadio app. Just search LA Kings and enjoy yourself some puck. And we got college hoops tomorrow, as a matter of fact, P.
Matt, we got UCLA on this station. Mick Cronin and the Brewhands taking on the Stanford Tree tomorrow at Maple. Tip off at 2 right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Don't forget to give Tim Cates a call. He was lonely. He got the crickets.
So lonely.
Gosh. I mean, in this theater that I call my soul, I always play the starring role on Bruin Talk with Tim Cates. You know, why don't you roll with him, you know? Give him a call, kids.
I mean, he plants the seeds of debate. So, are you excited about this UCLA team? Even though they're undefeated in the Pac-12, do you enjoy this brand of basketball that's producing on a night like tonight? 61 points, defense first. I want to hear from you. What do you think? Are you into it? Give me a call. 866-987-2570.
Well, good luck to you, Cates, and good luck to the Bruins. Still undefeated in conference after a tight one last night versus Cal. I heard you were freaking out, Cates. I heard you were freaking out.
You know who's freaking out? The Trojans, because they had a false positive. Not as big of a deal as perhaps feared. False positive yesterday, which means even though they postponed that game with Stanford, they have been given the green light to play Cal tomorrow in Berkeley.
Well, okay, we will be right back with more great sports talk as the show continues.
Great sports talk.
AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We are the one and only Petros and Money Show, proud to have trained Gabby Hurlbutt.
Yeah.
Tom Telesco next.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
He is. Sing down the highway. Shouldn't I be trusted?
When it comes to the Dodgers, LA's trusted source is their official home.
AM 570, LA Sports.
It's Petros and Money. AM 570, LA Sports. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We're cucks. You can cheat on us and we'll just smile and take it.
Yeah, we will.
That's
we
what
do
we
today.
Are. It's your cuck show record.
Well, you know, we couldn't. I didn't like it. I
don't like it, Mike.
It doesn't sit well with me, Matt, like last night's Casamigos that the Clune Dog bestowed upon me. You know, it doesn't sit well in my gullet that he went on with Rogan and Rodney earlier. Rawr. I don't like it.
Right.
But at the same time, he is our husband. And it's not like, it's like that show History of Violence, that movie. After killing all those people, he comes back home. What are we going to do?
Right.
We're not going to let him eat at the table? Of course we are. He's part of our family.
So he's Vigo, and we're
daughter.
Vera.
I'm the daughter. Yeah. You're the cheerleading wife.
Yeah.
Because you work for the Chargers.
Lucky me. We got Clippers basketball tonight. Cates Adam Oslin.
Cates is the son.
Cates is one of the bodies. Cold and dead in the street.
John Hurt.
Clippers Thunder. Adam Oslin with the pregame tip at 7.
Well, joining us right now, Matt, a man who made what a lot of people think. Hey, what is this?
It's Carrie Underwood, Dirty Laundry.
You've got to stop playing
no,
Dirty
we can't,
Laundry.
We can't do pop country. Tom Telesco doesn't like pop country. People we don't like pop this. Country.
He likes it. He likes
Our
it.
Listeners don't like pop country.
Tom Telesco doesn't listen to music. He listens to a series of beeps at night.
Is that what it is?
One of those hearing tests. What he likes. He's a very organized man.
Or the national anthem. Just over and over and over again.
Chargers GM. Tom Telesco joins us on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. He hired Brandon Staley, our guest yesterday.
Lightning bolt!
And can't say that we enjoyed that interview earlier today, Tom, but hey, this one, you got a chance to hit a home run, don't you think?
Hey, I did that interview earlier only because Fred is also part of the challenge, and I just felt like that I owed that to Fred and Rodney, because I love Rodney. I owed that to them, but I've been waiting patiently to come back on your show, and here we are.
You held your nose and did it. You know, I appreciate that.
See, he played the same game Vigo did. They're not going to divorce me over this. There's bigger things that they could perhaps split ways with me, but this is not going to be it. I can get away with this one.
Perhaps I'm a monster, but I'm still in the family.
That's right.
You ever see that History of Violence?
No.
Oh, Ed Harris freaked out.
Pretty good.
Ed Harris freaks out in the press junket. He went nuts and threw a glass at some reporter. The guy's like, what is violence? And he was like, ah!
I've felt like that before.
Yeah.
In a presser.
Did you feel that way during the coaching search? What was this coaching search like compared to some others? Very different, I guess, with the Zoom. But it feels like there's more information out there than ever about who everybody's talking to and what is said.
Yeah, it was different than typical. Some of that because of the Zoom. We're in a Zoom world now, so you can talk to more coaches and spend more time, really. That way. I mean, you do miss that face-to-face, but we were able to talk to more coaches. So this took a little bit longer, but it was good. It's a long process. It's the most important hire of the whole organization. So you really, you know, we talk about, you know, being thorough and, you know, casting a wide net, but you really have to do that. You really can't go in with preconceived notions. So that's what we did. We worked through the process the best we could, and I'm really excited you know, that we hired Brandon. And I think at least yesterday you saw in the press conference some of what we've seen with him already. But no, we couldn't be more excited. Now we're just, you know, put the staff together, and they can start learning our personnel, and we get rolling for next year.
With you and the organization and the market, and especially the quarterback, certainly seemed like you had your choice. That a lot of guys would love to be the head coach of the Chargers. Why'd you decide to go with Brandon Staley? What perhaps separated him from some of the other qualified candidates that I'm sure you would have been happy to have as well?
Yeah, no, we were focused on to take the focus off one side of the ball. Whether it was offense, defense, or special teams, we're really just looking for a head coach. And I've said this before, I think, a lot of labels are thrown around in our league, and these are football coaches, and a lot of coaches have different varied backgrounds. But we're looking for the best head coach for us. And it came down to three things, and obviously the interview is very important, but also, their resume is what they put on the field. And it was easy to see what the Rams did this year on defense and what he had to work with. Both the pressure they put on the quarterback, the coverages they use, and they're very productive. And then how those players responded to Brandon, and even how the assistant coaches there. Brandon came in, from Denver, and really got along very well with everybody in that building and did a great job. And you saw that product on the field. And then obviously the interview was very impressive. He has a clear vision of what he wants to do, and he was able to articulate that and really explain the type of culture he wants to build. And he talked about that yesterday. And then the X's and O's, offense, defense, special teams, about how our personnel will fit into what he wants to do. And then conversely about, as we move forward, the type of personnel that he's going to want on all three sides of the ball. And he does have a really good vision of what he wants on defense, what he sees for the offense, and then what he sees in the kicking game, because that has to improve as well. And then we did a lot of background work on all these coaches and just trying to find it's a vetting process, the same as we go through with the draft on players. And as we went through the whole process, it just came back that we just feel like he's the right fit for us right now, and we're really excited to have him. He's done a lot of work, and I mean, we hired him on a Sunday night. Today's Friday. He's done a lot of work this week, not only talking to other coaches and trying to put a staff together, but he's reached out to a number of our players. That's been big on his list, just trying to get to know everybody in the building and get to know our players. And it's going to take some time, but he's really attacking it right now.
How much of scheme goes into a hire? Tom, do you say, he wants to run this style of offense or this style of defense? It seemed like 5 years ago everyone was talking 3-4 versus 4-3. What guy are you going to hire? And now it seems like, are you going to run that Kansas City spread, or are you going to run Shanahan? Like, what are you going to run offense-wise? Does that come into conversation at all? Is that part of the vision?
It is. And then it's the discussion of how that fits with some of the personnel you currently have, and then how that fits with, how I can see how I can acquire personnel that's going to fit that scheme. Now, defense, there used to be a bigger difference between if you're a four-man front or three-man front. Those lines have blurred a lot in the last 10 years just because teams play so many five defensive backs, so you're probably in a lot of four-man front. So that's changed a lot. But really, I want to hear from the coach what his vision is. I don't want to force anything on him. Let's see how you feel. Let's see how you think it fits what we have. Let me think about how I can make it fit, and then you have those discussions. So it's on both sides of the ball and the kicking game.
When it comes to having a new coach in the building and interviewing all these guys, do any of them make like weird demands, like green Skittles only or stuff like that? I mean, because football, there's some weirdos in football. You know what I mean? Do you ever go like, wow, this guy's a real weirdo?
Look, there's all different personalities in our business. I'm sure there are in your business as well, probably more so than ours.
No.
There's a lot of weirdos in this business.
Not us.
You accept and understand them. I mean, we're all a little bit different, and I want different perspectives. That's the whole thing with trying to have a diverse staff. I want people to have different angles of how they look at things. I don't want everybody to have the same opinion. You don't get better that way when you don't challenge each other. But there's a way to do it too. And we want a building full of smart people that will challenge ideas, but can work together without big egos. And I think that's important to have. And we all have different personalities, and that's what makes kind of makes this job fun, is trying to lead all of that.
you know, Brandon said it in the presser yesterday, and he mentioned it with us when he was on, of how important the quarterback is, if not the most important part of the team. When it comes to building that staff that's going to support Justin Herbert, I think you probably got to be a little worried about losing him year after year if he's going to continue on this arc. But also, what makes him comfortable? He seemed awfully comfortable last year with Pep and Shane. Any chance that one or either of those guys come back, or if you want to try to keep some continuity there, style, scheme, and I guess play calling-wise?
Yeah, certainly still a possibility, and it's still all under construction right now. But I know one thing, and I know, you know, big picture wise, you know, people say, well, look, if you have a defensive head coach and you have an offensive coordinator and does really well and he moves on to somebody else, and then you have to put someone in that spot. And I get all that. But I just think as you build the organization, and I do have a big picture look at this, but as you build the organization, I don't want to build it scared. And I don't want to build it that we're scared of success, and we're scared if we have a lot of success in offense, we're going to lose a coach. I don't really prescribe to that theory. So, we're going to put a really good system in place. We're going to hire really good people, and we're going to have a plan for it, and we're going to keep moving that way. But it's nice talking with Brandon, and I really do think it helps that, you know, playing quarterback in college, you know, he sees both sides of the ball. He can see the defense from a quarterback's eyes and vice versa. You know, when he talks to Justin and all our quarterbacks here, you know, he's been back in that pocket before. So he's seen it before. He's seen it through his eyes. And I think it helps him communicate with everybody, not just the defense.
I already was a Fran Tarkenton-like guy, just, you know, just a water bug out there. Just you couldn't put your finger on him.
I saw the replays. He looked very athletic, quick. Not sure about the arm strength. Not sure about the accuracy. but it looked like some gutty plays. Now, those are highlights. If I'm going to scout him, I need the full game tape so I can put a full report together. But, it looked very athletic.
Yeah, I mean, stepping up, letting it fly.
Mercyhurst versus Oberlin. I mean, get on that immediately.
Easy now.
Hey, that's where the great coaches are coming from.
That's right.
Not to mention
John Carroll,
front office types.
Hey, and University of Dayton, you're looking at Chuck Knoll. You know, he started off and
let's go
John
Flyers.
Gruden. And that's right.
Remember when Chuck Knoll was like the coach of the Steelers for like 80 years? It's like there was never any. It was always.
I think
coach.
They've had five coaches in their history. I'm not kidding. I think they've had five head coaches in the history of the organization.
It's really amazing.
They've had three coaches in 50 years, you know, because Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin all hired in their 30s.
It's crazy.
So that's pretty amazing.
What a time to be alive in Pittsburgh. I got to ask you, speaking of game tape, Tom, do you watch the NFL playoffs in fury and anger when your team is not involved? I mean, how involved can you be? Does your family taunt you while you're trying to watch it? You know, we've talked a lot about this year.
Yeah, tough household. Yeah, no.
Nice run, Dad. You see that guy?
Yeah. Yeah, typically when you're not going through a head coaching search, yes, I'm watching the playoffs, and if we're not in it, I'm not in a great mood, and I want both teams to lose. But when you're going through a head coaching search, you're so busy. We're busy over the weekend, so I didn't really have a chance to sit down and watch the games from beginning to end, and some of the games I missed entirely. But at some point, you know, I kind of flipped my mind to there's a lot of people in this league that I know well and root for, and I want them to do well. But there's certainly when the season ends, there's that, you know, I hate to say it, but there's that jealousy that you're not playing and they are. And, you know, it's not a probably great emotion to have, but that's what happens. But we've been so busy with the head coaching search the last 2 weeks, I really haven't had a chance to watch a lot of playoff football yet.
I don't know, you know, our next opportunity to talk with you. We love our weekly conversation with Tom Telesco, but some changes.
He's been talking with a lot of people.
in the offseason.
Using his mouth all over the place.
No Shrine game. We know the combine is basically just going to be medicals. You'll have some pro days. What can you kind of share with us about, I guess, what you make of this offseason? You got all your draft picks and then some, and maybe how you felt the draft went last year, because it was different last year as well.
It was different last year. The good thing is it didn't really change till after the combine. So, you know, at that point, we had a lot of information already done. But this year is going to be different than that because there will be no combine. But this is something we had anticipated, that we could be in this position with no combine and no information from there. So we will get all the same information, but it's just going to be done differently. A lot of that work will be done at the pro days at the schools. And then basically all the background work and anything we do interview-wise is going to have to be over Zoom. which again is different without getting face to face with players. And this will be the first year ever that our scouts have not seen any of these players practice on campus, which is part of the process. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into scouting a player, but you would like to see him work and practice on the practice field. Now, they have seen some live games this year, not as many as usual, just because they didn't play as many games. So the bottom line is we'll get all the information that we need. It's just we're going to have to do it in different ways like everybody else. But the league had been planning for this possibility, so it's not a huge surprise to us. Our college scouting staff have been working on this. You know, the Senior Bowl looks like it's going to be a go next week, and that's very good. And they have a large roster, so that'll be great to see some players in those situations. And it's going to be an interesting offseason with the salary cap decreasing. You know, the free agency is going to be very interesting, and then the draft it'll be very interesting as well. So, be fun for fans and see where it goes.
The great Tom Telesco, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people might be jealous of him. And the coach he just hired, and the quarterback he has under center that he picked last year.
Oh, with that sweet surfboard behind him when he made the selection in his living room.
A lot of people jealous. Now that surfboard's worth $2 million because exactly he picked right. Justin Herbert with it. We appreciate you, Tom. Congratulations on all the work and progress you have made. Please don't be too jealous watching this weekend.
Thanks, guys, and great send-off music, whoever put that up. Good
job.
Turn it up.
Didn't know you were a Gin Blossoms guy. What's wrong with that?
It's my favorite band of all time.
Love them. No, they're really good live. We'll be right back with more PMS. Dead and Alive Guy, birthday of the day, last ones of the week. We'll be right back. Might be here with you.
Tomorrow we can drive around this town. I saw it in Tucson. They were amazing.
They blew
the top off that
joke. Oh, when they blew up dirt bags.
Petros and Money.
Available on the free iHeartRadio app.
Now.
Coming up next, Clippers pregame. Thank you for listening for the week in great sports talk. Grateful to you, the listeners. Clippers taking on the Tundra tonight, 6 o'clock, with fully functional employee Adam, and they'll tip at 7 at your home. Of the Clippers. Big thank you to Dino's Pizza, huh, Matt? What a great guy.
Lasagna pizza, spaghetti pizza, sub sandwiches. We've said it before. We'll keep saying it. If you have never tried Dino's Lasagna Pizza, you are missing out. We love them. Shout out to Ray from the John and Ken Show. And shout out to Dan at Dino's Pizza for hooking us up today.
Okay, Matt, your dead guy birthday of the day is Robert Irvin Howard. Would have been 115 years old today. Born and raised in Cross Plains, Texas. So much like everybody on the USC coaching staff, except for two guys, connections to Texas. As a young man, Howard was a bookish, quiet, bodybuilding, boxing, weirdo. But also wrote. He didn't just create Conan, Matt. It was Howard in the 1920s who started the complete sword and sorcery genre. No one had ever done it before.
Ever.
Mixing mythology, historical romance, and swordplay was something the world had never seen.
How about that?
He also, of course, is the man behind Conan the Barbarian.
Well,
which was conceived in 1932. Stories like, "By this axe, I rule!" For weird tales. The Phoenix on the Sword. The Frost Giant's Daughter. He grew tired of these stories and writing them for weird tales. Even though there were like great writers like H.P. Lovecraft that were like, wow, this guy does some pretty interesting stuff. After that, he wrote mostly Westerns inspired by his Western upbringing. But in 1936, at the young age of 30, while his mother was in the hospital dying, he asked the nurse if she was ever going to come to. And the nurse said no, so he went to his car and shot himself.
I called it.
He died 8 hours later. He was depressed. Very big, heavy man. O-lineman-looking guy.
Okay.
But his legacy is
Conan's all you need.
Well, every LARPing fantasy dork with a dragon, everything. Game of Thrones.
Lightning bolt.
The Hobbit was years after Conan the Barbarian.
Lightning bolt.
So, Robert Howard, the creator of the sword and sorcery genre, and all of you weird LARPers and guys that wear the big wizard hats.
I get behind that.
This is your guy. What do you got?
Stephen Ray Perry. His father owned a radio station, KNGS, in Hanford, just outside of Fresno. At 12, he heard, and that's why when you said it's Sam Cooke's birthday, I went, oh, Sam Cooke's Cupid. Said that was the song. When he heard that song on the radio, he decided, I want to sing. Sang in the school choir, sang in the church choir. Moved to Sacramento, started a band, Ice. Not far enough to record an album in L.A., but never amounted to much, save Perry staying in Thousand Oaks for a while to start a new band, Pieces. And then...
Thousand Oaks, hot band
Captain
for bands.
Beyond. This, by the way...
Hot band for music.
Thousand Oaks. Yeah. Canyon Club. Neither of his bands worked out. Next up was Alien Project, which was working. They recorded demos, about to get signed by a major. Their bassist was killed in a car crash. Perry took it pretty heavy and said it was a sign that, well, maybe this music thing isn't to be. So he moved back home, quit music. Out of nowhere, gets a phone call from Herbie. Old Walt Herbert. Managed a struggling outfit in San Francisco called Journey. Got his hands on an Alien Project demo. Was already thinking of replacing current vocalist Robert Fleischman, who wasn't working out. When he heard Perry's voice, knew he had to have him. Said, can you meet us in Long Beach? We're playing a gig down there. Perry met him. Fleischman. Hey, Bob, why don't you go out and get something to eat? When he went out, Perry sang with the band in a sound check. And it was immediately, Robbie, you're out. Perry, you're in. The rest is history. Sound of the band changed dramatically. Pop-leaning corporate rock from their prog rock roots. First album was Steve Infinity. Perry's penned Lights. Not about San Francisco.
Santa Monica, kids.
Peaked at 21. Next album, Evolution. Loving, touching, squeezing. Again, top 20. Not an over-the-top hit. Next album, Departure. Any way you want it.
That's the way you need it.
Still top 25. Still not huge.
Crawling with chicks, though.
It wasn't until 1980 in their seventh studio release, Perry's fourth. Who's Crying Now? Open Arms. Don't Stop Believing. Arena Tour. And this one, by the way. Stone in Love. Underrated from Journey Escape in 1980.
Really a deep track, Matt. Well done.
Stone in Love. They got right back at it early. 82, Frontier, Separate Ways, Faithfully.
Oh, Separate Ways.
You've what, never what a seen video. Never seen air keyboard.
Oh, air keyboard, air guitar, video. Air mic, woo! Air bass.
More stadium tours. NFL Films was assigned to their stadium tour to make their tour video. Perry was the principal songwriter while in the band. He's in the Songwriting Hall of Fame. Perry did a solo record, Sherry.
Oh, yeah.
After that, and Journey did Raised on the Radio in 85, Be Good to Yourself, Girl Can't Help, a couple more top tens, but that was it. Greatest Hits sold 15 million copies, Billboard charts for 750 consecutive weeks, but they were over it. And they took a hiatus for about a decade. Couple relationships, Sherry Swafford, oh, Sherry, and Kelly Nash, who sadly passed away from breast cancer, but he never married. Still single. Steve Perry.
Well, I'll tell you what, he could ask his pick of any women on the Embarcadero after Buster Posey hits a couple of jacks. Am I right?
You ain't kidding.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody, to a great week and great sports talk. And a big thank you
great
to
sports talk.
Our executive producer, Tim Cates. Don't forget to check him out this weekend.
Oh, call him. We got all them calls last night after Bruins Cal.
How many calls, Cates? We're coming back on tomorrow. Zero calls.
Like I said, he got a ton.
But tomorrow's going to be different and going Rogan. Don't forget.
Ooh, that's going to be great.
LA's most listened to sports talk for over 25 years.
Decades on the job.
This is AM 570 LA Sports.